Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to come together to discuss our library. We appreciate the work of our task force on bringing us recommendations. I don't know how this will proceed, but Sam, I don't know if you're presenting. Randy?
Sam.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. I'll give you the time. I'm assuming that we're here to discuss, so I don't know how long your presentation will be, but I think we've all read it and welcome it. So look forward to hearing from you.
Well, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to serve and to present. That is exactly sort of our plan, is to give you a little bit of an overview of what we've been doing and then really just leave this open for questions and dialogue and discussion. But first, we really appreciate the opportunity to serve. You know, under your leadership, commissioners and mayor, you know, this is what makes Winter Park so special, is you tasked a citizens group with a specific assignment and allowed us to do our work. And I think this process shows what a civil and intelligent and inclusive and transparent dialogue can have when discussing important community issues that are so passionate and mean so much to so many people. Before we do share some of the highlights and answer your questions, I just want to thank a handful of people on behalf of the task force. First and foremost, our library staff, under Sean's leadership, Phyllis and Ruth and Mary Gail and Ann, who are all sitting here today, spent an incredible amount of time supporting this effort, providing us support and information and resources, and we really are grateful to them for that. The ACI team was also available as a consultant that the city has, and we appreciate Larry and John and Julie for all their work. And finally, you know, to be able to have Randy on the task force was incredibly valuable, and he also provided a tremendous amount of guidance and perspective. And of course, each member of the task force who spent a great deal of time over the last 4 or 5 months, it's been a lot of fun to work with these friends and colleagues. We all came in with different perspectives and probably different agendas and different thoughts, but I'm really proud to say that we kind of outlined a plan and we followed a plan, and through the process we came to the same conclusion. And you can look on page one, which is the executive summary, which in essence says the current library is archaic and inadequate. Our city, which represents the highest quality, deserves a first-class library to match our assets in terms of arts and culture, in terms of parks and recreation, in terms of education, and so much more. There are several options to achieve the goal, and we believe that we laid out very realistic, very feasible, and very affordable in terms of public projects like this, plans and opportunities and options. And really, frankly, the time to act is now. It's probably past time to act, but now we believe is the time to begin this process in the most serious nature, to take the appropriate steps. What we presented might not be the easiest, but we're pretty convinced it's the best, and hopefully we can all work through that. We expect there maybe is a hole here or two, or somebody's going to say, why didn't you look at that, or how about this, or what about that? We acknowledge that up front, but we feel like under the time constraints that we had, under the, you know, the real estate scenario out there, we couldn't look and didn't look at every single property in Winter Park, nor could we. But we feel like we've outlined a pretty good plan. We've heard the expression before about buying a car and its want versus need, and I think in this case it's far beyond the need. Our car is tired and old. And if you just quickly turn to page six, we'll kind of walk through a couple of the highlights and the facts that really showed us very quickly why the library is in need of a major overhaul. There are four overarching factors, which you see there: capacity, accessibility, flexibility, and technology. We could go through all of these, but, you know, 12% of all books published have been digitized, so, you know, there's so much need for printed books, and while there are some studies out there or maybe some fundamental beliefs that say libraries are going away, I think the statistics show just the opposite. Our youth are being dramatically underserved. Approximately 50% of libraries' total circulation and program attendance comes from youth services, where the department only occupies 20% of the building. Meeting space is limited at best. For groups, for organizations, for community organizations, for businesses, there's just no space. There's no quiet areas. parking is always an issue. The accessibility is hard for young people. It's hard for old people. And it's just not, frankly, a safe building that would obviously meet current ADA standards. The flexibility, I mean, the building was built with one purpose and one goal, and it probably accomplished that, you know, when it was built. But the role of the library has changed so dramatically that it's just insufficient and inadequate. And finally, technology. I mean, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time talking about why the technology, both electrical and sort of internet and fiber-related, is woefully insufficient for what we want and need. So with all of this in mind and sort of some visioning describing this document, we really want to let Chip have a few minutes to share with you sort of some thoughts on visioning of the library, because it's probably unfair to think about the library today as it is and maybe why it, as it standalone, as it sits today, why that needs a new library. The point is that what the library could be and what the library should be is this, and I think this will clearly outline why we are in such need of a new facility.
I think we come to the conclusion that we're not just deserve a new library, whatever library actually becomes.
We need a new library. We need a new library because of a host of new things that are coming our way very quickly. It took almost 30 minutes to get here today because of the traffic. That was a disruption. I think that we're on the cusp of a whole lot of disruptions, and I've had the pleasure of working with a number of leading global futurists for the last 6 years. And all of us have come to the conclusions that libraries, more than any other entity, are in a position to help us deal with the incredible opportunities and the incredible challenges that we face just within the next 5 to 10 years, let alone the next 20 years. So rather than going into all of these nanotechnologies and carbon fiber technologies and robotics, artificial intelligence, I will just tell you that we really do believe that the library, of all the types of entities in the municipality, is in a position to guide all of our generations, whether they're children or they're elderly, through the next 10 to 20 years efficiently. I think that if you look at Rollins and you look at Full Sail and you look at the University Club and the Women's Club and all these other wonderful entities that we have in town, there's no one that can pick up the slack like the library for reaching out to every demographic in the city. We have major changing demographics. We have major stratification in the wealth. These things are all going to have a huge impact on our city, on our sustainability. So again, I don't want to go on and on and on, but I will be glad to go into any kind of detail that you would like about why we don't just deserve a new library, we actually have to have a new library. And it has to provide a whole plethora of new services that libraries haven't necessarily provided in the past. We looked at the library in Orlando, and we saw what they're doing with creative spaces and maker spaces. That's a tenth of 1% of what we're going to actually need to provide. It's wonderful, but it's only the beginning.
So we'll really open it up for questions, and we'll sort of leave it with one, you know, thought. Is do you ever wonder why the city of Orlando decided not to renovate Bob Carr or the Amway Arena? They couldn't. I mean, they couldn't do it and make it world-class. So instead, they went another route and created two world-class facilities. And I think that we're sort of in the same boat. And I think to this point, and I think the task force would agree that the library, everything that could possibly go into the library to make it feasible and sustainable has. And it's at its tipping point. And so we really feel like now is the time. And there are a couple great places to do it. And we'll leave it open for your questions and dialogue.
Well, thank you. And I want to begin by thanking the task force. You've done, I don't know what the right adjective is to describe your work, but exceptional work, and we really, really appreciate it. I think you've certainly captured the issues. I will begin with a question with the recommendations, and that is, the task force seems to, I don't know what information they did or didn't have, but the post office as a primary recommendation is a wonderful idea, but is probably $10 to $14 million more, as well as, let's assume we could negotiate with the post office in a year, and then whatever years it would take to replace that, we're probably 5 years out from construction. Did the task force take that into consideration?
Indeed. I mean, I think you saw in the recommendation that there was a little bit of a time guideline that says,
You said do it in 6 months, but what I'm saying is that that would just be the negotiation period. The post office, as you know, requires us to rebuild them a post office,
right,
which I think would take a minimum of a year or 2 years to do. So we wouldn't even be acquiring that property for three to four years out.
I mean, I think to be clear, we get the constraints. It's a matter of do we have the appetite to look 20, 30, 50 years ahead and know that this is the best, or do we want to punt and go on? And if we do, that's fine.
But I think
there's three other great alternatives.
So, Sam, when I see the budget, and I'll go to the very last page, which is ACIs. I'm trying to understand the math, and it doesn't add up to me. So the buildings are all about the same price. That makes sense. Obviously, what's going to drive a difference in cost will be parking, whether or not there needs to be surface or elevated parking. What I'm unclear, with the exception of the potential sale, which occurred with everything but the current site, the total budget really needs to, I guess I would say, add to it the price of the post office, whereas down here it seems like it's just another thought. And so I'm not sure that these really all come out as apples-to-apples comparisons.
The reason why we added the cost of the acquisition of the post office as a separate item is that our understanding was the city's going to pursue that regardless.
Well, I don't know that I would assume that.
So,
and if we did, I don't know that I would assume that it wouldn't have opportunity costs based on something else that we would do. So, I mean, it's real $7 or $10 million more of the project in my thinking.
Sure.
And that should be taken into, in my thinking, the consideration. So I think it is it's at least a $10 million, if not a $16 million more cost, because for us to move the post office, buy land, maybe that's land that we would sell and maybe be able to potentially use for a new library if we didn't have to do that. So I, for one, believe that it seemed like all the costs, with the exception of the...
Just the other
ones. Is it fair to say that the costs, for the most part, are pretty consistent based on square footages and everything else? It's just a question of whether there's surface parking or other parking. And the post office site costs money. Somebody's got to pay for it. So... the citizens of Wick Park have to pay for that one way or the other. To be used for this, I think it makes it a $35 million project, not a $23 million project.
But it is clear that the reason it's not in there is there's something that the city fund is going to acquire or something.
That might be your assumption, but I don't think that's my assumption.
So our assumption is that's one of the assumptions. The other is that if this site were acquired by the city and the city agreed to locate a library here, it would be doing more than just creating a library, okay? It would be providing the opportunity to expand the park, to add a civic use of the library, and to basically lock into perpetuity that this location will be nothing more than park space and civic use into perpetuity.
True, but we haven't talked about it. But, I mean, Randy, I don't know where you'd get $7 to $10 million today to buy the post office, even if we did. I mean, we'd have to be floating a bond or whatever, so... I mean, ultimately, I think it's got to be considered in the total cost of the city, and it does drive. We've been trying to negotiate for 6 years. They're not going to give it to us until the post office goes bankrupt. We don't want that to happen as a society. I mean, it may be the right thing, but it's a $35 million project.
The assumption in there is not that we will own the library in 6 months. It is that we will have a contract with us to acquire it.
Well, timing is important because if the conditions are as destitute as the initial analysis presents, and by the way, I things like 20% of the space is used by 50% of people, I just have to ask, as a taxpayer, I don't know why you just don't shift that today. I don't know why you just don't. I don't know why we need a bigger one to do that, for example, but I get the technology.
I guess my other question is are there other examples of places where, and the other question, this is to city staff, the meeting room space, I mean, since the library has been created, we have the community center, which is brand new. Is that full today?
During peak times,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there's always...
We have additional resources in our community that we didn't have before, so I see that as a wonderful function. The library fulfills it today, but that might be being fulfilled someplace else in our city. And the question is, do we need a third place where we have a conference space?
Our citizens told us yes. We had the open forums where we got a lot of input from a variety of citizens through several forums. And one of the recurring things we got told is not only do they value the library, but if it had deficiencies, it was things such as, while they were there to seek the services the library provides or to review the materials, they weren't able to accomplish as much as they would like because they didn't have the opportunity to meet with small groups, to have live study space, to do things such as that.
So of the 60,000 square feet that's been proposed, how much of it is what I would call library space, the quiet space, et cetera, versus moving placemaker space, et cetera? So of the 60,000, we're saying 25,000 is that?
That's right.
So today we have 32 or 33, so what you're saying is we'd actually go down?
No, just the collection, just where the books are.
Oh,
okay.
Well, I'm intrigued by the 60,000 square feet. How much of that would be broken down by... Because approximately all the buildings in the area were all about 60,000 square feet.
Up to two.
So what of that would I consider traditional library collection, replacing what we have today versus placemaker space, meeting space, etc.?
About 25,000 of that is traditional collection space.
So how much of our current library is traditional collection space?
Right now, probably closer to, if you take out the meeting rooms and local history, and
so we go from 15 to 25%.
Yes.
And about by the way, we probably get those numbers harder.
Okay.
Yeah.
About the meeting space, it's not necessarily the spaces you can put up in the community center, and of course, the outcome costs money. It's smaller spaces that we can create. It's kind of community activities.
Yeah. I was in here yesterday, and Karen Tudor's here, but I was in here yesterday, and I was listening to the tutor, and I was thinking that I'm I have no idea, but I've
heard
all over the library
because
that's how it works.
My wife is a tutor and tries to tutor the library. She comes home all the time saying she just don't find a way. I went over to Sarasota Golden Gate Library, their building, and one of the things they have on one of the floors is that they have like six small tutoring dash conference rooms where 4 to 6 people can go.
I think it would be helpful, at least for me, to understand the breakdown of space, because you know, at some point we have to convince the voters that there is a portion of this that's replacement. It may be antiquated, it may be whatever, but a portion of it's replacement, and obviously a portion of it is expansion and new capability. And there's got to be value placed on both of those. And a return at the end of the day. And I think we all understand a traditional library. I don't know that you can put a value on the quiet space, but we need to understand how much that is. Did you look at any other non-city-owned properties for buildings or acquisition?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple referenced in there. You know, that was just one. You talked about time and sort of empowerment, and you know, you just didn't feel like you had the authority to go out there and say, hey, this plaza or this center was viable, or that we, you know, we could go acquire on behalf. We didn't know who to go acquire on behalf of. Further, I think we all decided that it's important for the library to be in the core. And that, so we did look at a couple in the core, but not much.
if it were determined that the city saw value in the facility, and agreed that the region that it would go to, the thought of other alternatives in front of city-owned sites, then clearly there could be an effort to another site for the law that we just didn't spend too much time on that for a number of reasons like that.
I guess my last question is I understand why the library is fulfilling the role of 3D printing space and all those types of things, because it's not being done elsewhere in the community. If it was being done elsewhere in the community, would the library need to fulfill that? I mean, why the library versus an incubator or something else?
Because there are people who can't afford to pay for the services that the library provides. We have a whole strata of this town.
If it was provided for free someplace else, what would happen? Is that something the library needs to do? Does the library see that? I mean, I know why we're adding that to the mission of the library, but is...
Yes. We definitely see ourselves moving into a role of content creation as well as a place where you come to check out things. We're here to help you also create in this new environment to create your own content.
I think that the ROI and all those things need to be measured, because I think that creates a whole different realm and a whole different role. And as you're thinking about new things, I think we need to probably determine what the return on investment for...
The state of Florida recently updated the return on investment on libraries, and you know most libraries in the state of Florida are fully tax-supported, and including makerspaces and those kinds of things, the return on investment is $10 for every dollar you invest in the library.
That's great.
I'm happy to share that study with you.
The other reason why we thought it was important to look at these newer and more progressive type makerspace items for the libraries, not just because of their trendy or because it's the future, which is important, it's the future, but is that even if there were opportunities for folks of means to acquire and use these things elsewhere, one of the big services the library provides in this community is, number one, serving those that don't have the means to acquire some of these, the up-and-comers, the entrepreneurs, the self-starters. So we want to be an incubator in that regard to encourage those to, because there's a lot more self-starter businesses and so forth. So the library plays a big role in that. The other thing is, culturally speaking, the library is one of the very few places locally that brings together people of all socioeconomic backgrounds. So I would like to think that if we had an area where new technology was being used and so forth, partially funded by grants, get things donated and so forth, where you have folks of means that are established business people that come in and teach seminars and use the equipment right alongside a very newly educated person without any means, so that we're bringing together a broad spectrum of our community together to collaborate and to learn. We think this cross-pollinization is the type of thing, service, it's kind of an innate quality, something the library does for the community. And it's more than just books. It really is about bringing more people together, energizing our base. And I think from that, you will see a return on investment, not just culturally, but economically, as more small businesses are encouraged. I think you'll find that larger businesses will be encouraged to see that the city values nurturing talent in a way that fosters new business, new investment in the community. So these things can be measured, and I think you can look at studies that back these up, and I think the State Controller recently issued a study that showed that libraries do just that. But that's really the thinking behind it. Even if others are providing it, that's not a reason why we shouldn't be doing it.
The two different public forums that we had were great input. The first one, we had comments about the library is like the living room of the community. The other one, which I can't remember the quote, was excellent about the technology aspects of it. But both forums indicated strong public support for doing something new with our library, that the current facility is not working. The only, I don't want to say arguments, but discussions were the site location. But I don't believe that we heard anything from anybody that suggested they think the current facility is adequate for what we need. And like we talked about, it's not just the books. The future of the library is technology centered. Creation of content, not just going and picking up a book and going on from there. A lot of the things we heard in the public forum were once again, bringing the community together. We see it more as a point, a focal point of our city. And a city of this size, our village like this, the quality we have here, I personally think that our library is lacking for what we deserve as citizens. So I think the only discussions or arguments we have were for site selection, which we've covered many here, and we're open to discuss that. But I think the discussion of whether or not we need a new facility, it's pretty obvious to me that the citizens are wanting it and see the value. That's my experience.
The one startling thing about all this was we heard virtually no one say you don't need a new library. We've had people differ about where it ought to be, what the components ought to be in it. But there's pretty much nobody saying, yeah, what we got's just fine, let's stick with it. Just, those people just, if they're out there, they haven't come out of the woodwork yet.
Well, we haven't sent them a bill, so that's that always changes things once you start to do that. Sam, I was intrigued because originally we had talked about the library being a partner in philanthropy potentially, and I didn't see any of that other than maybe future costs. Is that a foregone conclusion that people will contribute to this philanthropically?
Yes. Jeffrey is our designated rep on the financial question.
Over to you.
As of now. All those in favor say
aye. I mean, let me be very direct. Does the library board feel like they can raise $5 or $10 million for a new library? And I guess I would say put their money where their mouth has been.
I think our position is that we would like to raise money to increase our endowment to make sure that the new library has plenty of operating money. I don't think we think that the Winter Park Public Library Association, Inc. ought to build the city a library. We believe that the citizens should build the library through their tax dollars, and we should raise money to make sure that there's plenty of money to operate that.
And is that a philosophical decision, or is that based on you don't think there's any philanthropy available for it?
I think at speaking at this point just for myself, I think that's a philosophical decision. I think the citizens of the city appear to have spoken through these forums and said that they're willing, that they want a new library. Now, you're right. Until you tell them exactly what the bill is, maybe they haven't made a final decision on that. But we haven't heard anybody say so far, I don't want a new library and I'm not willing to pay for it.
Have you made any outbound gestures to any organizations, national organizations, international organizations, that do fund learning opportunities like libraries, schools, things like that? Has there been any outreach yet?
I think the answer is no.
The state of Florida does have construction libraries that will apply for next year.
But there's even private endowments that do, yeah. And I just didn't know if you'd had the opportunity. Yeah.
And I mean, if you give us the go forward, then we'll be out looking and talking to those people, but I don't think we want to do it yet.
We felt it was very important to go that endowment route versus the capital campaign, because we've seen what happened, for instance, to the Orlando Science Center. They raised $50 million to build a brand new state-of-the-art science center, but didn't have a big enough endowment to sustain it. So we really felt if we're going to go to the community and raise those dollars, we really should do it in a purpose that's going to serve the library for the next 20, 30 years.
And they use PICO dollars from the state to build that, and from the get-go, everybody knew there's going to be an issue. Yeah. So we're wise to look at that right now.
And what do you think that number is?
We'd like to raise our endowment at least 40%.
Which is what?
At least $2 million. Anything beyond that would be
wonderful.
And that's based on a couple of things. One, we believe we can do that. And two, in looking at the anticipated increase in operating costs, which are substantially offset by the efficiencies, but nonetheless, we would anticipate some additional cost based on the larger facility and the new programming. That the increase to the endowment and with our current investment policy, that would enable us to cover that increase without having to, you know, depend more on the city to fund it. So that was the other rationale.
I saw that in here, but help me. That's raising the endowment to $2 million?
An additional $2 million
above and beyond the current.
Yes.
So what is the current endowment?
Five.
So it would go from five to seven?
Correct. That's what we would hope at a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest that's if the city's going to invest 25 or 30, that I think we would have to encourage the library board to do something far deeper than that. So,
first, that's a very dramatic entrance you're making.
Yes.
I think we can raise money.
citizens are ready for that, and we're prepared to mount a serious campaign to do that. So we're in for fundraising.
The golf course bond, as you guys well know, is going to be ending, and so we're hoping to tag on at that point so there's no feeling of my taxes are going up. This is going to be maintained. They're going from the purchase of the golf course, which was, 70%, I think, in favor of it, to going on to the library bond.
And Randy, what's the current bond on the, or what? What has been the value? $8 million for the golf course?
It was a $5 million bond issue. It was $8 million to purchase, but we bonded $5 million.
So $5 million to probably, I don't know how much money we would bring to the table. Let's just assume it's a $25 million project. Let's assume it's a $35 million project. If it's the post office site, let's say you get seven for that, so you're at 29 or 18 or 19. When, Randy, does the bond for the police station, and how much are we paying on that now?
The bond for the police station gets paid off in 2021.
2021, and that is?
And it was roughly an $11 million bond issue.
So, Gary, point well taken. Yeah. 11 and 5 is 16. We're looking at 18 to 21. I mean, it's more money. Good news is the interest rates at those, I don't know if we've, did we?
We've refinanced them.
But,
right. Originally, they were higher interest rates.
Well, I think this also brings up...
Your point's well taken.
But another interesting part of that is if we do commit to the library, and we don't choose the post office site, we are committed to some type of bond effort. And if the post office site does become available sometime in the future, that's where we'll be competing for that, too. Right? So that'll be... We'll have to go out for another referendum to look to purchase that. So it's just another thing we need to keep.
There's probably logic to do it, but I just tell you, I think it's hard to tell our citizens we're going to tax them to build a post office, a new post office. I just think that's a tough sell personally. I think it's great from a value standpoint. I think it's right. I think that we've zoned it in such a way that it will be something for the city if it's not a post office. But I mean that's a tough sell to me. Let's give the federal government $7 or $8 million.
And you might note that we have a fallback location,
yes,
in case the post office,
right,
doesn't.
Well,
the difference between terrorists and the post office is you can negotiate with terrorists. So. just remember that.
And yes, you can quote me on that, Anne. Anne has her video camera there, lying, and you can quote me on that. So.
As far as a new post office.
It's to be the first time she quotes me correctly. That'll be correct.
I can see the headlines now. As far as a new post office goes, and I'm not completely sure of this, but if we went with a post office site, we were talking about including a retail component of the post office in our facility.
It's a great idea.
Okay, so that's not going to be a cost there. And as far as a new processing facility, Randy?
Well, you know, Mr. Mayor, I've been working on trying to accomplish the moving of the carrier space, and I've got all the information from the post office that we need to provide, as well as kind of a general geographic area in which they would agree to combine two distribution sites. So I've been working on some properties out near the Fashion Square Mall. As you know, I need about just under 3 acres to accomplish that. So I've got a couple of things I'm working on. I don't have anything sealed in any way, but you know, the 6 or 7 years we've been dealing with this, I think we're as close today as we've ever been of something that could happen.
But there's a price tag.
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's going to be free to the citizens that want to.
No, sir. I estimated it'd be about that $7.5 million to build the combined facility, to build the replacement retail space, and acquire the 3 acres, or two, you know, under 3 acres, but roughly 3 acres of land out in that industrial area.
It's just not a final thought. This is another thought on the site. We don't want to get wrapped around the axle on that site. We know that there's challenges with the site. We know there's a price tag on the site. But again, after we deliberated everything, all the input from the citizens we had talked to, our patrons, and the research we'd done, the site is just too compelling. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So we'd be remiss to not both recommend it and commit ourselves to pursuing it for some period of time. We fully realize that it's an uphill battle, and we realize at some point in time we need to step back and go to Plan B. So it's at the pleasure of the commission to decide where this goes, if it goes. But we're happy to discuss those other locations now or later if you'd like. But we just think it's just a compelling, and I would venture to say if the city wanted that site, I'm not going to say you need the library, but I think it actually helps. I think going to referendum and combining a library with the acquisition of the site, substantially expanding the park, the opportunity, but not the necessity to increase the parking. There's just so many things you can accomplish there. And again, worth pursuing, but again, up to you guys.
And outdoor programs that would be available there to use the Central Park as a front yard, if you will, for the library. So there's some nice positive aspects there. But to carry on what Daniel said, I don't know that we would like to talk about the sites, but I think more important, we just want to get some confirmation from the commission that we should move forward on looking at going for a new facility for the library.
I've been supportive of a new library. I think we need it in the city. I don't think the current library represents what the citizens of Winter Park expect out of their municipal buildings and their properties in general. I don't think it, as you said, 20% of the library set aside for 50% of your activity with children. I think we need to better represent families in the community and get a facility that does that. I think that children are learning differently these days. The experiential learning is much more in focus with where we are going as a society, and I think we need to be better prepared for that. So I'm on board with the new library. I don't know if I'm... There's an interesting article in the WallStreetJournal.com, I think it was out yesterday, that talked about, it actually used advertising agencies as an example, but it said all these advertising agencies are now having these rooms where new clients, potential clients, can walk by and see all these cool new tools, 3D printers and all that stuff, but it's really just to try to sell the clients. Really nobody uses them. I don't want dead space in the library. If you're talking about interesting space, it'd be great to go and see these 3D printers, but if nobody's using them, it falls on its face and we've not succeeded. So I certainly think that any space that we look to has to be flexible enough to address some incoming and upcoming ideas and the way people are going to learn. I'm not sold on the locations, the two locations that you presented. The Civic Center financially is really interesting to me. As we talk about trying to bring the community together too, that makes the most sense to me because we are going to an area of the community that will hopefully tie it together. People say that they like walking to the library, but then when you ask how many people actually walk to the library, it's a very limited number. People do get in their car to go to the library. It's like when you ask how many people go to the post office, and they all say, oh, I walk to the post office. Well, a lot of the merchants on Park Avenue do, but most of the people, I think everybody around this table probably gets in their car to go to the post office.
I walk.
I drive.
I drive.
It's 4-1 again on that one.
So I think that the Civic Center to me holds a lot of opportunities, both financially. It looks like it makes a lot of sense. I'm concerned about the post office. We've been at this for 6 years. We are getting closer, but it is close. This closer does not mean close.
Right.
Yes.
You know, let's just be clear, because
if you were 10,000 miles away, you're now 9,900 miles away.
And we're giving it every effort we can to make that happen, but I'm not sure that's the way. And I'd still like to see, we do. We have seen that the public has come forward and said we need a new library. I don't know if we've engaged the entire populace. I'd certainly like to see that if it goes after referendum. Do you support a new library? I mean, I would love to see that question answered. As I said, I'm supportive of it. I think it needs to be done. But I'd still like to hear from everybody. So,
two comments. The concept is flexible. So if we build something and, as you pointed out, people don't come, in a flexible library, big open spaces that you can reconfigure, you can then turn that into something else. In a library like we have now, with load-bearing walls and strange angles and things, you can't necessarily do that. So the flexibility takes care of those concerns. The other thing is, all of 5 sites that we looked at will accommodate the library we want in terms of the number of square feet and the parking. So all of the sites will work. We've chosen the two we think that are the best, but they'll all work. And it's really just a question of cost. There are different costs associated with the different sites. And that's why you all get the big bucks to make these decisions.
Well, let me go back for just 1 second to the Civic Center, if you don't mind. And that is, I think there's an opportunity there to take an asset that the city has that needs some work done to it, to possibly kind of double dip here and take care of what could be a really fabulous Civic Center set on a really beautiful little piece of property in Winter Park, on a growing area in Winter Park, and combine that with the library and really make a bigger than each individual asset. I mean, the whole of that asset can be a lot greater than a library and a Civic Center.
Would you keep the current Civic Center?
I would offer that would be up for discussion. I think that there's an opportunity.
It's flexible space. I mean, it meets.
If you can go to another story and you can have a great view over the lake and you can do some really unique things, I think, with that piece of property. So, I would certainly think that's for discussion.
If I could just add to that, too, it's definitely compelling, and we did deliberate that quite a bit, and it was discussed in our forums quite extensively. So, yes, there is clearly, and it's on the list, there's clearly an opportunity to do something great there. While the library, and at least those at this table, are all about partnerships, and we've throughout the process said that we can not only succeed but be more relevant if we have good partners and potentially co-facilitate with other civic uses. So there's nothing to say that we couldn't co-facilitate with a civic center. I will tell you, we got a good amount of feedback from both people that are very passionate about the Civic Center and what it provides and people that are very passionate about the library and what it provides, and there was the concern that either could potentially water down the mission of the other. In other words, we don't want the Civic Center to be an afterthought at the library, and we certainly don't want to compete with the valuable things the library provides in order to have big stages and big meeting halls and things like that when some of those types of things may be provided elsewhere in the city. And there's some emotional attachments, just like there are to our current library site. There's some emotional attachments and some very understandable attachments to the current Civic Center site. So those are some hurdles you'd have to get over. Can they be crossed? Possibly. And we as a group are certainly willing to look at it. But there are some things about that that at the end of the day caused us to rank some of the other sites a bit higher. But your points are well taken.
But ACI has done an interesting concept plan here where they show the library facing the pond and the parking garage, and then they show in dots a civic center next door to it.
Yeah.
So conceptually, it could be done if that was the site you wanted. We do have the concerns that you mentioned that by putting them together, maybe you water down their missions, but
or make both stronger.
Or make both stronger, of course.
You're locking them in the parking garage. The one thing I'll point out, apologize, is that you're moving it further from the core. And to your point, most people drive to it now, but you're perpetuating a suburban library. And I'm not saying that as a dirty word. I'm just saying you're perpetuating it as a library that's closer to busy roads, and there's pros and cons to that, and moving it further away from the pedestrian core, which has become part of our identity and become something that we want to embrace and enhance. So that's where we got a lot of feedback that although there's substantial opportunities here, it does start to move quite a bit away from the other sites, which provide the multi-use aspect of going and parking once and doing numerous
other things. I would also offer that the city has spent well in excess of $10 million trying to expand the core west to try to bring the city closer together. And I think there's an opportunity to possibly continue that. I mean, the core has always been a very narrow core. I think they're probably, by expanding the core, we are incorporating more of an area that used to be considered the other side of the tracks, which I think is unfortunate because everybody should be part of one big city, not this neighborhood or that neighborhood. And by possibly expanding the core, we're doing more to bring people into the city than keeping them away. And as you said, one of the core goals of this was to be that place where people come together. I think this fits in perfectly.
It's a great site.
Don't. I'm on a page that yes.
Which page?
I'm on the page with all the dollars on. Number four. I mean, it's eventually going to get to that point. But do I support the library? Yes. My wife calls me pessimistic. I consider it to be realistic, and in the context that we've dealt with the post office for more than 6 years. We've dealt with the post office since I was on P&Z 20 years ago, and We're still dealing with it. And I really think if the post office, if we were to pursue the post office, we just ought to adjourn until we know what the deal with the post office is. Because everything else is, it's up in the air. Because we're talking dollars, we have no idea what they are. We're talking potential sites we would have to purchase. And the thought now is, yes, we want a new library, we're going to put it there. Let's adjourn until June of 2015 and decide whether or not we have that site.
Sure.
The Civic Center, to me, your point about Bob Carr and the old arena applied to me to the Civic Center. It's dated as it is right now, and if we were going to do it there, I'd take the 17 and I double it, and it's 34, because you'd have to rebuild the Civic Center. I don't think that's a reusable building in the context of trying to marry a state-of-the-art library with a very aging facility. It's still, I mean, it's a great site, and but I think you take the 17 and that becomes 34. I have no problem moving it adjacent to this building. I mean, I am a big fan of, yes, you come downtown, you park, and you get off the Amtrak, or you get off the SunRail, and you go there, and it's kind of like, that's our civic core. And the charm of this is, yes, you can actually, I park at City Hall all the time, but I can park at City Hall. I do walk to the post office from City Hall, I mean, as I go down Park Avenue.
I walked down.
which is really not so much. But usually somebody's in that spot reserved for commissioners only. So I agree. When we design parks, and I'm a landscape architect and do that for a living, when we design parks, the first thing we ask people is, how are you going to maintain them? Because there's nothing worse than a beautiful park that's not maintained. And so I applaud your efforts. I really do think that if we move forward, this is a civic investment, and that the taxpayers are either going to say, yes, we want to do this, or no, we don't. But the fact that we would have an endowment in place, and I think that would be one of the things that I would want to see, is that, yes, we do have the dollars in place, because I think I asked that question early on. As the city does help fund the library, is that going to increase our current rate of funding to the library as we go forward? And if that doesn't increase, if the endowment does, and helps offset those costs, I think that's vitally important, because there's nothing worse than a building without people in it to help you find what you're looking for. So I'm kind of on the page of here at the City Hall site, just from its proximity, from a cost standpoint and whatnot, and the fact that we could move forward on that. I think the post office site, again, as the mayor's pointed out, there's a year's worth of talking about it. There's a couple of years worth of securing stuff. There's another year worth, and we're 5 years down the road, and let's adjourn and let's talk about it in a few years. I think that's just, there's so much hair on that site over time, and again, I've dealt with it and dealt with it and dealt with it, that I is it an optimal site? Yeah. I mean, and if we could walk out there today and cut a check and do something about it, my feelings might be different, but I don't personally see that happening. We've had a congressional representative.
We've had fundraising. We've raised $300,000 as a city to do it. $300,000.
That one's a toughie. It is the one out here, but there's one that's half a branch lower.
What's the $300,000?
That's what we raised for the Save the Park Fund.
And so.
Oh no! It was over, well over $1 million.
Well, it was only $300,000 in cash.
What you know? We did raise money. But we'll leave it at that. But the other thing about the post office site is my feeling is if we go to the citizens and say we're floating a bond for $25 million, we ought to have. The building ought to be designed, the site ought to be, I mean, it ought to be a done deal that we're going out saying, this is what you're getting for $25 million, not just we're going to build a new library. And I know you're going there, but that just adds that extra timeline to the post office, is that we won't know for several years where we are, potentially, before any of that even happens. So, from a timing standpoint, there are sites available that we could secure in the short term.
I don't think authorized, like we could, you know, bake the cake all the way. Like,
no, no. And again,
so
but those
like the next step.
Yeah, those are things that, yes, even before we would go out to a referendum, I would want to have.
For sure.
I would want to have an architectural set of plans that we could tell the citizens, here's what you're getting for 20. We knew what we were getting with the golf course. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, full of weeds, whatever it was. We got nine holes in the middle of Central Park, and everybody said that's a
good
deal.
Not full of weeds, by the way, right?
Not anymore, but it was gnarly when we took it over.
It's in good shape.
And one of the reasons we took it over was to make it a better place. So we ought to have that before them so that we can all pass a straight face test when we go out there and say we're in favor of this, to say yes, and here is what you get for $25 million. Because it's going to be all of that, I think, no matter what site we deal with.
Three points on the operating cost. We have a lot of ideas of what programs, you guys have a lot of ideas of what programs are wanting to be added to the library. They don't have to all be added at the front end. If the operating costs are not going to be covered, then this particular program is going to be something as one of those sponsors. So we've got some controls built in there to address that. Secondly, as far as the Civic Center versus City Hall side, we want to look at those two. For what it's worth, I think Park Avenue businesses might be more inclined to support a City Hall or a post office site, because this library is for the city of Winter Park, but if it's right in that core area, you're going to have people coming in on SunRail to use the library and hopefully come over to the businesses.
One of my associates this morning, as I walked out the door, and he lives in Orlando, and where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to a library task force meeting. Winter Park Library? Yeah, take my kids there every weekend.
Exactly.
And so yes, it's a service to our community as well, but it's an outreach that I think extends well beyond the boundaries of our city. So
and then as far as the having some plans and things, we initially were very aggressive in trying to get a bond referendum on this March election. I think we've all decided that's crazy. So if we move it to later in the summer, perhaps we'll have more time for you guys to look at the post office and see, is it even going to happen at all, anytime, anywhere near in the future? And if not, then we move forward with the other sites. But I think we all agree that we can't just go to the citizens and go, we'd like some money to build a new library. Where? We're not sure. What's it going to look? We have some ideas.
Here's a picture. Yes, right. The sign right here.
And we're not going to pass that.
Yeah, even before that happens.
That's right. In case you were wondering.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
no.
We also wondered if the post office site, the fact that a library would be going on it, would make any difference with the beds.
I don't know.
The post office administration.
So I think it's very possible.
That might help with the butterfly effect.
I also have faith.
Not with the post office.
I also have faith.
They don't think anything but themselves. The federal government, yes, but not the post office.
They're a tough group to deal with.
Well, I think John Micah has been extremely helpful and extremely positive about us having the opportunity to get the post office. I agree with you. Now is the time. I also believe that if you want support for the library, there's no better way than to have it tied to getting that post office property. Because if we don't, someone else will. So for me, I could not be more pleased, and I'm really struggling with this, and I'm going to tell you why. It's the parking. It's the parking. For years, we have heard that the parking downtown is a problem. So what we're going to do now is we're going to move the need for 500 or 600 more people to be able to come to that post office. And I don't know that that is good for the merchants, quite frankly. I think that might be a struggle. I've always imagined that we would have a parking garage on this site, and I always imagined that parking garage would support the merchants' needs for more parking. So now we've introduced yet another need competing for parking in exactly the same location. So I'm hearing from people that say they'd like to keep the library where it is, renovated there on that site. That's the first thing I hear.
Commissioner, did you say parking garage on the post office site?
No, I always imagined a parking garage here.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
I always sort of imagined that's where we would build.
I apologize, I was confused.
No, that's okay. But I always imagined that's where we build that extra parking to support the merchants. And so for me now, we've introduced another need for that same parking. I'm not sure we're doing ourselves a favor if we want to maintain the ambiance, that small town feeling downtown, for us to continue to generate needs for parking in that same location creates, we start to run against our own objectives, and we start to create a need for more mass and more parking garage. So for me, it's hard for me to say this, but if I can't get support for keeping the parking garage, keeping the library where it is, which I can hear that support doesn't sound to be out there. And you have reasons for that. You've studied it. It's not clear to me, but I have people on this board that I respect, and if you tell me that's the wrong site, then all I would say to you is, I don't want to relinquish municipal land inside the core, which says let's land lease that property from my perspective. But if you want to move the library, then the question becomes, how do you deal with the parking, and do you really want to continue to compete with our existing needs where people are already saying the parking is inadequate? So I don't want to force myself to beg you to build a 6-story parking garage in 20 years. I don't want to put myself in that situation. And because of that, very difficult for me to imagine, but as I consider this, I think the Rachel Morris Center sounds like it might be a good location. So I had some questions that weren't answered. I would like to know how many people walk to the library versus drive. I would like to clearly understand the parking at every location, and I just didn't have time to study that. I think you may have given me the data, but I haven't had time to study it. Third for me is I want us to seriously consider land leasing and not giving up any property, because we don't know what our children's children will need in this core. And to let that land go sounds like a terrible mistake to me.
I'm really confused what you're talking about, land leasing.
Well, I'm talking about the library.
You're talking about the current library site?
Yes.
You mean
yes.
That we would not sell it
that
to someone else?
We would not sell it. We would land lease it.
That wasn't clear the way you were saying it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were talking about land leasing this site or other sites.
Oh, thank you. I'm talking about the library site, only because we already own it, and it's prime, and it's in the core, and we don't know the needs of our children. So I would say land lease that thing out for 100 years, and then at the end of 99 years, let our children's children decide what they might need that we can't even imagine at this point. Space utilization, we didn't actually talk about which items might be able to be done at the community center. We got a lot of space over there. And the reason I say that is because I'm kind of an advocate of design to cost, which says to me, we have two bonds coming due. We have the police bond, we have the golf bond that will terminate. If we could make this seamless, truly seamless, if we could design the facility so that it would fit within that without losing too much, I don't know what that number is, but if there's a way to make it seamless and if there's a way to make the cost work with the two bonds that we have expiring or something close to that, and I don't know what those numbers are, that would certainly be worth looking at. So I guess if it has to move off the site it's at, which that this is what this packet is all about, and I didn't count the signatures, but there are numerous signatures. Thank you. There are 464 signatures from people who would like you not to move the library off the site. I would tend to support those people and that request, quite frankly, because I think it keeps it in the core, but it keeps it far enough on the edge that we're not competing with the merchants' parking. But I am flexible on this. I'm not hard over about it, provided the citizens of Winter Park vote for it. If they vote for it, then that's their choice. So I'm flexible between the Rachel Morris site and the existing location. My first choice would be, and this is hard, it would be that post office property, just because I believe that we could get the post office property. I would like to hear more from Randy, because I've been hearing extremely positive things. And if it's possible.
Positive, you got $10 million. It's very positive. Anything's positive.
And I think the citizens of Winter Park would agree that that would be worth that bond. I believe that. I saw them come up with, and I understand we may not have collected but $300,000 in cash, but I think it was well over $1 million just to make it green space. You know, so we have to be careful that we don't confuse them, that this isn't green space. That if we could do the library there and do the parking on the other side of New York Avenue, how lovely that would be. Because then we could have green out every glazed side of that post office, how beautiful that would be. And it's only across a street, 22 feet or something. But that's sort of where I'm at about all this.
My simplistic view, since the Republican Party has taken over Congress, that they... No, this is
I'm one of his favorite Republicans.
That we may have more room to negotiate, since they would like to just privatize the whole thing anyway or just whatever, that they may be more prone to move this sale along. That's just pie-in-the-sky thinking. But
well, if you get this entire city behind wanting to do that, and you get letters and you get phone calls and you get people addressing their congressmen and people pursuing their friends, we can make it happen. And then I would only turn to ACI and say, once we've made it happen, you have to make it compatible.
Well, our congressman was head of transportation. He couldn't make it happen, so I'm not sure why you think we're going to make it happen.
Well, actually, the reason he didn't make it happen is because we couldn't agree on what we wanted to do with the property.
Let me talk a little bit about it. Are you done?
Can I am.
All right, I'm going to just mention a couple things. First of all, to your point about West and the core, I guess because I don't see us as having a core and then this section here. I get to be on Morse Boulevard all the time because my mother's at Depew, and I have to tell you, people walk that road all the time now. The first time I saw people walking, I thought, what are they doing here and where are they going? Because I was not used to it. And let me tell you that I'm there every day, and there are people walking. So we have already moved towards that. And I think, to me, that's healthy because what we're saying is we have a bigger core. So that's just something to keep in mind. Secondly, when we started this, I have to tell you guys, I was not really thrilled about it in the library because my car goes there very easily right now. And I thought, why do I want to change? Well, you know, I don't want to change. But you know who wants to change? All the other people out there. And you said it, Chip, when you said, we deserve this in our community. I love that comment because our community does deserve a state-of-the-art library. And all you got to do is just go to the bathroom there, okay? And when you go to the bathroom there, and you will be convinced that we need a new library. I'm sorry to say it that way, but it is the bottom line truth of it, okay? And then yeah, there is no question that we need it. And so did I need it? No, you know, I love where it is. I love wherever. I love everything to stay the same. It can't stay the same. So for me, when I look at the buildings that I saw here and how you are so thoughtful and looking out, I kept thinking, what's going to happen in 20 years after we get this new building and fiber optics are such a part? Are they going to have another new building? Can you build a building? This is my big question. Can you build a building that's not going to have to be rebuilt in 20 or 30 years? Because to me, that's really, really what my job is as a city commissioner, not to put the commissioners in the place I'm in right now in 20 or 30 years, but be able to create something for the future. And I know some statistics, I'm sure that Sean knows these, that say families that use the library create people who use the library. So the idea that we have all these family things, and I remember going to all the children's programs there just like you all do, and that's what we have in this community. We already have a family library. How great it would be to have the picnics outside that you could go to, because all those things that you can have, I don't know the best place. I know that I can't put any, it's not that I have a thing about the federal government, it's just that when you have that many moving parts and your future depends on them, that's not good, okay? That's not what we want. We want our future to depend on us. We want to be able to control what we can do. So that's why from the beginning I thought, yeah, let's look at it, but let's don't count on it. Let's count on us because we are accountable. We can count on ourselves. So let's look at something we can do. And I think it's almost a gift we give our community. I think of it's not something they deserve, but I think it's a gift for the future. Because for me to think that my children and grandchildren would have a place that would be so fabulous for them to go is why I can say, I've worked really hard since I've sat here with our budget to make sure that we don't ever tax our taxpayers. But guess what? This is something that we might have to tax our people for. And we haven't done that since I've been on the commission. You haven't, and you all haven't either. We've really worked hard. Thank goodness you have a commission who has worked hard not to spend money into the future. So now when we have a reason to, we're able to look that way. So I'm very pleased to be able to support wholly a new building. Okay, where that new building's going to go, I don't know. I know that there's lots of possibilities. I know that if we put our fate with the federal government, that's probably not where we want to go. Okay, so the more we can control ourselves, the better off. And for me, as far as going over to where the whole Morris Boulevard, that's becoming a great boulevard right now. And I don't know how much you know that, but I do get a chance to see it.
Would you mind trying to, just to add to that?
Yeah, right? Yeah, I do, Steve.
I think it's really important, though, that we people are concerned about the encroachment on our core. So, I mean, there's literally, and everybody that's spent any time in business, there's two ways of doing this. You can build a wall around your core, which is never a good idea. That defense doesn't work. Or you can expand your core.
Right.
And that, to me, makes the most sense. Think about it. If we start expanding our core, we fight the encroachment into the core. And we take that walking path and make it. It used to just be Park Avenue a few years ago. Now it's starting to include Hannibal Square. It's starting to go a little past that. We have the opportunity. We're bordered on one end by the lake. We have the opportunity to expand our core and incorporate more into our core and make greater and value, create greater value into our core by doing that. So that, Tom, I take your point about this. I'm concerned about what we do with this building and where this ends up in 10 or 15 years. And so that's what I just wanted to bring that up. But I do think, Sarah, to your point, people are walking. I mean,
they are.
They're
they
walking
are
down Morris Boulevard that you did. I have the same, where are these people walking to? There are people, there's opportunities out there. So.
And I walk a lot in this town, okay? Yes, and because of that, I invariably have people who stop and say, hey, you need a ride? I think they feel sorry for me. And so I have that happen every time I walk, okay? Today I drove down here because I got to go somewhere else, but I'm thinking after I got in the traffic, I wish I'd walked because that's what happens in this town. And yet, what a great town that we have this problem, which is where can we put something that's going to be a gift that our community deserves. So I can't tell you enough how grateful I am for your hard work because I didn't start out feeling as strongly as I do today about where you all are. So thank you.
Go ahead, Eric, and then I'd like to close with you. I'm sorry, Jeffrey.
I want to say that I think many of us came into this process with thinking we were going to end up at a different conclusion than we did. These are very thoughtful colleagues. The folks that came to these meetings brought different points of view. And in the end, I know I came up with a different conclusion than I thought I was going to have going in. And I've heard Jan and other people say that. And that's that, of course, is the value of the deliberative process. You have thoughtful colleagues who bring different points of view, and they win you over. Mm-hmm. So that's really the best of the process. And I think we've come up with a good process, and we've come up with good conclusions. What I think we need now from you is you all need to say as a commission, yes, we want to build a new library.
But we can't do that here, but
no,
go ahead.
Not today, but then you need to work through the process of picking a site, deciding what that site's going to be among the competing sites. Then you need to have a building designed and put numbers to it. And then you're in a position, I think, to go to the voters and say, here's what we propose to do, and here's what it's going to cost, and are you willing to tax yourselves to do it?
Yeah, I'd like to share my thoughts. So I don't disagree with your points. I may be the only commissioner, with the exception of Sarah. I don't know if you used the library before this library.
I did.
Okay, so there's only two of us that used the library before this library. And it was a good library, and it had a youth section that I checked books out from, and it worked, and I didn't think it had a Radio Shack computer in it. I think that came in the new library, but you know, the flexibility of what we face is going to be with us for another 50 or 60 or 80 years. So
I think it's important to think that. I love the concept of what we deserve and what we need, and I also like the concept of what we can afford. So I can go today on 1792 and buy a new car, tax tag and title, for $26,000, and you'd all say I got a new car and it's beautiful. I also went to Concours d'Elegance and saw a car, just the tax, just the sticker price, this is before the tax and the dealer fees, of $511,000. Quite a range to say I have a new car. And those who drive a $511,000 car, God bless you. I wouldn't want to take it on I-4, but you know, I can't do that. And as a steward of the citizens of Winter Park's money and one vote, and while I certainly support their right to vote for whatever they want to do to tax themselves, I am much more inclined with a project cost that is something much more within our power. That something is maybe even not even in the range of even a referendum, but certainly the potential sale of this site, potentially the sale of the Progress Energy site. In my math, that could be as much as $12 or $13 million, additional fundraising, and then maybe some city contribution. We could be in the $14-15 million range very easily. And I think that bills, even with a parking garage, a very adequate, beautiful, new space that begins to do good things for our city, that starts someplace, that maybe gets expanded on, et cetera. I, for one, if the vote was next Monday night, would vote no to a referendum. I do not believe we should be taxing or even asking our citizens to tax themselves $25 or $35 million. I think I've worked too hard to get our city's finances from a 3 or 4% reserve to 26 or 27%. Our city staff sacrificed far too long without raises for 4 or 5 years to do that. That to me, doing that today would be like going and buying a $400,000 or $500,000 car. I want to get a new car. I'm excited about a new car, and I think there's ways to get a new car. I appreciate the creativity that's been evident today, as well as, to your point, Jeff, the coalescing, the coming together around a very, very important subject. I am intrigued by the concept of the post office site. I think that we do need to face it. I think it's a tall order. I don't know if I went to a referendum booth today, even for parkland, that I could vote to give the federal government $7 or $10 million so they could go build a new distribution center so that we would have 2 more acres of green space in beloved Central Park. I just don't know that I could vote for that personally. That to me would be hard. If it was a gift, fine, I get it. That's not going to happen. But I think that something could be done both on this site. I'm very intrigued with the Murrah Center site. I'm intrigued with the park. I mean, with the concept of what might even be able to be done in partnership with the post office on the current site. But I am much more inclined with something in the range from which I can see it within our own resources versus even something that says, even if we're all gung-ho, let's go. I mean, our taxpayers could say no, and we're right back where we're at. You know, we had a chance to rebuild City Hall a couple of years ago, and our neighbors to the north did that. I'm so proud of the fact that Randy and city staff said, you know what, and we don't have the world's best bathrooms here either, so we could have done things. But the investments we made in City Hall refreshed it, remodeled it, and were far more cost-effective than knocking it down and building a new one. I understand the antiquity of the current building. I also understand the antiquity of Bob Carr. If I had a Bob Carr today in Winter Park, I'd say it was the best thing that we ever did. I mean, because that would be good. So if you don't have one, having a new one is a different, or something is a totally different discussion than if you have one. And now we have 400 citizens that say the one we got is just great, I guess, because they want it to be there. So we're going to have varied opinions on this. It's not going to be 100% to zero in any vote or anything that's taken on this matter. But I would love to charge not just this group but city staff to be thinking about something in that $15 million range. And frankly, Larry, the math I just did is that's a $5 million parking garage and that's a $10 million building on this site. That's 35 or 40,000 square feet. Maybe we invest a little retail on the first floor and maybe we say let's stretch a little bit and go from there. But I think it would be a building we would be proud to have. I think we would all stand at the ribbon cutting and have our heads held high. And if we could do it without taxing ourselves, I think that would be even smarter.
What would it take for you to support the referendum or going forward?
You know, Gary, I think it's very hard to tax, to go into deeper debt for something that we may or may not be able to afford. I think the need then becomes a want. And I think that's a whole different conversation with our citizens as well as with ourselves. And I'm speaking as a voter now. I'm not speaking as a mayor. I think it's a different conversation to say, well, we want it and we deserve it and we need it and it's bigger and better. Well, you know what? People still go there. There may not be enough space where it is today, but it may not be as flexible and maybe we need to do 3D space someplace else. But that's a whole different conversation around $25 or $35 million than we don't have one. So I'm personally much more inclined for a project that's in the, you know, city contribution of $15 million. Certainly, if philanthropy wants to be added to that, we welcome that. If grants are added to that, maybe that gets it to an $18 or $20 million project. But I think there's a principle that you should never live past your means. And the more we give our money back to our taxpayers in the city, the more they can contribute to the library, the more they can contribute to 3D makers and other kinds of things in our community that adds that level of difference versus us just taxing. Because the tax, frankly, you know, impacts everybody.
And also hold us back from possibly.
And it holds us back potentially from other challenges that we could face. I mean, we're in great financial shape today, you know, and we want to stay that way. We don't ever want to get into a position. And by the way, we got into position because we started to do some wants. We wanted this, so we need to buy somebody out to do that, and we put ourselves into a hole. I think we can do it. I frankly think there's good ways to do it and would love to explore that with this commission and the task force. But it's going to take everybody giving a little bit. It's going to take, you know, the library going, maybe we can live with 45,000 square feet instead of 60 initially, because that will be what the new house has. It's 4-bedroom, 3-bath from 3-2.
Are you suggesting not to go to referendum and try to do it within the budget that we have now?
I think there's a way to build a new library without taxing our citizens more money.
And the only reason to go to referendum is to tax the citizens. So
correct.
That's why I'm asking that, because that's a clarifying question.
I mean, I'd have to ask legal counsel, I'd have to ask Randy. But I think if we chose, if the federal government gave us $15 million today to build a new library, or someone gave, or you gave us, Sarah, $15 million to build a sprinkle library, would that require a vote of our citizens to spend $15 million to build a new library?
No, sir.
No. So I think if we had the means via the potential sale of property, potential reserves, or what other kinds of things, we could do that. I'm not saying we would. I'm just saying we could do that. And I think that's prudent management versus, well, you know, why not 45? Why not a 90,000 square foot building? Why not 100? You know, where does it stop?
60.
Are the rest of you in favor of holding a referendum in general?
Absolutely.
I would never pass beyond this problem I think it is essential to have the citizens say
support.
Yes. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people. We've done a lot of things. You're right. When it's all of a sudden there's a ballot on the ballot, you find out who's on your side and who isn't. And I could never
What if there's no dollar on the ballot?
Then we go.
There's got to be a dollar.
If there's no dollar on the ballot, it's because you've sold other city assets to fund it.
That's it right there.
And that may well be within your purview, but it may not be popular. So I think that's just a consideration the commission would obviously have to take.
Well, I would rather face my citizens and said I sold city assets that are not being used at this point to continue to do that than say, yeah, we'll just spend $25 million and we can get you what you what we think you need.
We've talked about that, too. Progress Energy site is already anticipated to be sold anyway.
No, right. No, it is, but if you put the post office in play and other things in play,
sure,
you have opportunity costs that are potentially lost for that. So.
I have one more question for Randy. Do you know what the cost of the current library was to build and what that was percentage-wise to our budget at the time?
I do not know.
Because we hear 20, we hear 17, sure, 20, we hear these numbers and they seem massive. And I'm just trying to, I want to make sure we keep everything in context.
It went to referendum. It went to referendum twice and passed pretty significantly. Correct?
I know the third floor was a referendum. The third floor was a referendum. I don't
think the original.
I would just like to see what it was compared in comparison to what our budget was.
That's encouraging.
Well, it was 1982. I mean, the world was totally different.
It was 1990. What was the third floor?
That was
third. But it's nice to know that the residents support.
Third one.
Well, we can't take an action here, as you know. So this is calendared our Monday meeting. I mean, at this point, I don't want to speak for the whole commission, but. You know, we had convened you for 6 months. I think your work will be complete on Monday. There may be some additional things for us to deal with, but we're obviously going to have to make a decision with the information that's been presented before us. That decision doesn't have to be made Monday night. I don't think any of us are prepared to make that decision Monday night. But, I mean, I think we need to start the discussion within the City Commission about how we want to process these recommendations. I mean, we may keep the task force in place if we have questions to go back to. But I mean, I think that your work is personally successful and completed at this point, and the ball comes to the City Commission's lap as to what we should best do. And you've got key decisions, obviously. Do we build or not? What is the budget for it? Then how do we fund that?
There's a momentum to this thing that we should preserve. I don't want to talk about this thing 5 years from now. We should keep going with it because it makes sense. We've gone to the people. We did a poll. All of that was very positive to building a new library. You'd think, and to your point, there ought to be a way to take the properties that would be sold and the present indebtedness and build a new library.
Like the Potter's Point, the police, and the golf.
Yeah.
Part of our thinking.
Well, I'd like to be out of debt, to be truthful on that one. So if we're going to debate that, I think a city that's out of debt is a better city than a city that's in current indebtedness, personally. But that's a philosophical point.
Yeah. I agree with the philosophical point. But
part of our thinking was that it's taken us a long time to get to this point. And if we do move forward on a new library, we really want to make a library that's going to be one that can go for our children and our grandchildren, and one that is flexible, that has 3 feet between the floors where technicians can move wires and pipes and things. So it can last, and it can be really the library of the future, because why build one if we can't do something for the future? So we didn't really want to think small. We really wanted to think of what we needed just now and 10, 20, 30 years.
That's great.
It's a worthy goal, Jan, but history in Winter Park doesn't show that we've ever done that in the library. So every 15 to 20 years, we build a new library.
That's why we're here today.
So. Yeah.
The other thing is I think ACI and everybody else will tell you that every year you wait, it's going to cost more. It's not going to cost less.
On the moving forward real quick.
The assets will be worth more, too.
Well, that could be.
To the extent that when you guys deliberate and move forward and vote how you may vote and charge the staff to do what they may do, obviously as a task force, just speaking for myself, you know, those of us that have invested some time in this are willing to continue to offer our time to the extent that it's needed. I will tell you, as also a library board member, regardless of that participation, the library will be continuing to support and pursue a new facility, including but not limited to that it may go to a referendum. To the extent that it were to go to a referendum, the library individuals supportive of the library would be pursuing efforts to reach out to the voters to encourage them to educate them.
I'm unclear what you said, Dan. You said the library board's going to do it without the city commission?
No. The library, in parallel, would continue to support the new facility. And to the extent that the commission supported it going to referendum, okay, supporters of the library via PAC or whatever instrument would take it upon themselves to make sure that the voters knew what the library was asking for and had every opportunity. That would be something that I feel quite confident would be successful. It can't get there without your support. But we'll take on that role if you all see it as important for the city to bring it to the voters.
We would mount an informational campaign to support the effort. We would do the sales job. Do you?
Our time is up, Gary.
Just real quick, would you like to keep us as a task force for an additional 60 days on call?
Well, we're limited by virtue of the fact that our task force has served 6 months. I guess we could choose to do that as a commission. I think there's wisdom in having you available and on call. I think there's wisdom in concluding it. So I don't know what my fellow commissioners would choose to do at that point. That's something that I think we need to talk about going forward also. I mean, certainly, commendations and thank you for your work to this point. It's been phenomenal and really, really, really well appreciated.
Thank you for the opportunity.
So thank you.
Thank you.